The following audio is via a Skype call.
To infinity and beyond!
TGIF, everybody. I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Welcome to Mance and Mitchell. We are trying to kickstart your weekend metaphysically, however that works, as we push that bicycle of life forward, forward, and always something new to discover. Suzanne, we just got back from a trip to Disney World. When you live in Florida, because Orlando is centrally located, you find yourself with opportunities to go to the Mouse House, as people say around here. It's a lot of fun. It's generally very crowded, and you get to see slices of life playing themselves out like so many comedies or dramas right in front of you, and the trick is not to get caught up in it.
And we did at dinner one night. We were in a place that was so loud, there was a couple having an argument and screaming at one another, and you couldn't even hear them because the restaurant was so loud. You could only see the veins popping out on their necks.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're yelling.
But, and it was so loud in the surrounding area that I missed it. I think I was off at the carving cart or something. I didn't know this happened. You had to tell me afterwards.
Yeah, no, standing up and yelling at each other, and, you know, the kids are dripping liquids from their bodies.
Nice.
Crazy stuff.
And these were the Pooh characters, too.
That's right. Yeah.
No. That was something else. So when you go there, be prepared for an experience, a very expensive and sometimes loud experience. But, hey, it's Disney, and they run the show, and it's a good time. We got on a lot of rides. Here's the secret. If you're going down to Disneyland or if you're going to Disney World, the thing to do is to check the hours because they vary. If Magic Kingdom, for example, is going to be open until midnight and sometimes till 1 a.m., see if you can't stay awake, you know, schedule a nap if you need it, and go in while the people with the tired kids who are usually screaming in dissatisfaction and frustration at the end of a long day, they're leaving, you're going in, and if you give yourself 2 or 3 hours, you can get on every ride that is open to be rode and not have a long line. Why wait more than 10 minutes when during the day, frequently, it's 75 minutes, 90 minutes, 2 hours to get on the most popular attractions? If you can get on with a 10-minute wait, why not? So that's the way we did. We sort of discovered that. It was a happenstance for us, and I thought, there's a strategy we need to follow next time.
Sounds good.
This time we have
one of our most favorite guests coming on today.
And she's kind of got a little Disney conscious going on. She has the ability to think in terms of parallel universes, which is yet another facet of Pam Mosley. And when we were confirming her appearance on the show today, she also asked if I got on Space Mountain. So we'll have to talk about that too. If you folks out there are thinking this is a travel show, a cavalcade of adventure, well, it's that, but more metaphysical than you might think from this Disney veneer we're throwing at you here in the opening minutes of the show, because it has to do with expanded consciousness. We're talking about perhaps multi-dimensional living, even as we occupy these bodies of ours, being open to the possibility that perhaps there are endless worlds, and they leave traces, and they leave opportunities. Pam Mosley knows about that kind of stuff. She's written about it, talked extensively about it, and we're going to bring her on so we can hear a bit more from her directly today.
Pamela Mosley is an acclaimed psychic, radio show host, author, and speaker. She has appeared on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Sirius Radio, Coast to Coast AM, and numerous other TV and radio shows. A featured speaker at the TED Talks, TEDx Talks, and Conscious Life Expos. She also presents to Fortune 500 companies and many other organizations. Her books include Life Colors, Love Colors, and Make Your Dreams Come True, in addition to her most recent book, Infinite You, A Journey to Your Greater Self and Beyond. Welcome once again to Manson Mitchell, Pamela Ousley. So good to talk to you today.
Oh, so great to be on your show again with you guys. I'm glad you sort of had an interesting time at Disney.
Well, we did. It was a mix of good and bad. You know, it's mm-hmm. the happiest place on earth, but not everybody is happy every moment. Don't let them kid you with their marketing. And we found ourselves with having lots of very good experiences. We stayed at a place that we hadn't stayed at before. And when we made the reservation, the woman said that it was a premium location. And we understood that when we got there, that it's the Caribbean Beach Resort is built around a lagoon, and people who are on the opposite shore have to walk a half a mile to the food court. Food court was right next door to where we were staying, so there was no half a mile walk. It was just right there. So,
and yes, I did ride Space Mountain again yeah. with the Disney. So, what does any of this mean, Pam, in terms of our metaphysical conversation that we advertise we're going to have today?
First of all, I want to say yeah. too, my niece came all the way from Europe. She lives in Europe. She came all the way to Europe. She went to Disneyland here in Southern California, and it was only open until 6 p.m. that day. She was so bummed.
They vary the hours. It's weird.
It's very strange. So anyway, I think Disney, who was a violet-yellow personality, violets are visionaries, and yellows are, you know, big kids at heart. I mean, they're creative, childlike, whatever, but violets are visionary. Anyway, I love that he created, bottom line, many worlds. I think he was ahead of his time with that, and he didn't even know that. You know, Fantasyland and Adventureland and Tomorrowland, and it's like he created many worlds, which basically... we have, since you touched on that, with, you know, parallel universes.
Parallel universes. It's all Space Mountain in the larger sense. I decided I would get on the ride, and I was with the last group they let in before the park closed. I timed it just perfectly, even though by accident, but I was the beneficiary of this good timing. So I get on Space Mountain alone. Why alone? Because we all have to look at the unknown in our own way. Suzanne decided, in fact, adamantly, she said, you go, get on that ride. I'm not touching it. I did it once many years ago. I'm not getting on it again. In addition to that, she has a sore back here lately and thought it would be prudent for her to just avoid Space Mountain. I went on it, and it was a fairly violent ride. It was more topsy-turvy and more dependent on the sharp angles of geometry, even though the cars only go 13 miles an hour. But that you go at such an angle and up and down that it is this wild ride. So I got on that. I said, you know, a lot of the tension we carry in our bodies, a lot of the anxiety about an experience like this has to do with something fundamental, Pam. And I think that fundamental something is fear of the unknown.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about roller coasters, because I've been describing to people, I've been using that analogy lately, with something that a lot of us are going through. We'll see if you relate to this. Yes, fear of unknown. I love roller coasters. It's like, and the Space Mountain here, at least the last time I went, it's all in the dark. And I understand they've redone it, though. My niece went on it. She said it was a completely different ride now. But this is the analogy I've been using. For those of us who have been, and probably many of your listeners, who have been on this path for decades of self-discovery, wanting to evolve, spiritual evolution, consciousness evolution, I feel, well, let's put it this way, I'm sure everyone out there, well, maybe not, most people out there have been on the front car of a roller coaster. I know I have. I've ridden in the front car, and you go up, 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 up the hill. It chugs up, it chugs up, it chugs up, and then you get to the peak, and then you go over the peak, and you're ready to just, like, go, and yet you don't get to go yet because the rest of the train hasn't caught up yet. The rest of the roller coaster hasn't come up over the peak. And I feel that way in my life right now. I feel like I know so much. The energy's building. The energy's there. I feel like I've come up to the peak and have kind of started going, like, ready for it to release, ready for things to shift, ready for us to live with this whole new level of consciousness. And I'm just hanging in that front or second car going, let's go, guys. Come on, let's go. And it doesn't seem to be releasing yet. That's my analogy of the roller coaster right now.
I really get that, Pam, because you've been looking at consciousness for a number of years now, and you believe that we are in a shift of consciousness, which is happening currently. But as you just described, not everybody is on board yet. And so, you know, you're kind of leading edge, having the conversation to some people who are with you and some people who are going, huh? And, you
right.
know, hard, and, hard and, yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's even, I'm looking at that going, well, my evolution shouldn't be held back by other people either. And so I'm looking at, that's a fair analogy, by the way. I've used that before, too. And there must be some part of me that hasn't come over the hump yet. There's a part of me that's still in the old paradigm, the old way of thinking, the old consciousness. So I'm like, okay, let's get myself aligned here so that I'm not, don't you feel that way sometimes? Like, sometimes you're really awake, you get it, you know the principles, it works for you, synchronicity is happening, manifestation is happening, and then all of a sudden I feel like I went back to sleep, and all of a sudden there's struggle and density and people aren't happy, and I just go, oh my gosh, what did I? How did I get back here? I thought I was waking up. How did I get back here? So it is also mm-hmm. an analogy that all of me has not gone over the hump.
Well, that is so absolutely going on in my life right now, is that same exact feeling, that the peaks and the valleys, being up there and thinking, oh, you know what? I really understand that now. I really got that lesson. And then all of a sudden finding yourself at the bottom again. I fell back in September. And so I've been really looking at physicality a lot. And, you know, one of the things that you say in Infinite You is that the body is the physical expression of our thoughts and beliefs. And so I've been carrying around a sore back since the middle of September and doing various things for it and getting better and healing up. But I'm saying, you know, why that experience? You know, why I thought that I was past a lot of that stuff. And now it's like I'm really thrown back into the physical world, into manifesting. And, you know, we don't always get what we want. You know, we get what
right.
we believe. And
yeah.
So I'm saying, what is it that I'm believing that caused this accident to begin with and then has caused this, you know, slow recovery? And it's kind of interesting when you start looking back at the things that you thought you were past.
Yep, yep. And it's interesting because, you know, you do have that violet and that yellow in your aura, and yellow is usually the way to give a yellow a wake-up call is in their physical body. It's the only way you yellow slow down. Once,
yeah.
And Gary's got yellow, too. Once the yellow has something going on with their body, and people go, oh, it was just an accident. It's like, no, I see our bodies as not just reflections of our beliefs or an extension that we radiate out. Our, you know, physicality is a reflection of our beliefs and our inner landscape. It's also a barometer. So it's a very amazing way of knowing what's going on with our beliefs. If we don't get it consciously, we'll hear it, we'll get it in our bodies. So typically back stuff is either support issues or holding back or guilt. I love it. I knew my neighbor's gardeners have shown up right during the show, so this will be fun. Trying to find a place where
not the
no
first
noise.
Time it's happened.
It is or is not?
Not the first
not
time
us.
It's happened.
No.
No,
the gardeners of Southern California have it in for us. I think it's a conspiracy.
You know, I think they're very intuitive. They go, hey, let's get on the show. This is a good way for us to be on the show, too. That's so cute. Well, you know what? Watch how I'm going to go with this. To me, that's a reflection of some noise that's going on inside of me that's interrupting me, that's distracting me, and I go, oh, yeah, I got that going on. So our bodies are really good indicators, and I guess thermometers, thermostats, to show where we are. So anytime I get a physical thing, I'll go, okay, what's going on? What's that a reflection of? What's it keeping you from? Where are you holding back? Or where are you worrying about the details? That kind of stuff. All you have to do is go to your body and go, what is this preventing me from doing? Or describe how you're feeling about it, and you're going to know why you manifested it on a physical level so you can really pay attention. We do that in the outer world, too. All the noise
yes.
that you just had at Disneyland, all those people screaming or being mad at each other, the noise was too loud to hear. That's a reflection of what's going on inside of us. We're so noisy in our thoughts and on our action and our activity, we're not being quiet enough to hear what's going on inside.
what was kind of funny is that when we were having that dinner, and it was extremely, it was in this cacophonous all glass crystal palace, you know, characters running around and noise. And I was so sensitive to all the noise, I felt like I was shutting down. And when we got out of there, I was ready to go home and be in the quiet. And Gary said, "More rides, more rides, more rides."
I didn't say like I'm 10 years old. I said it like I was 15 or 16.
But he's dragging me. He's dragging me to more rides that I can't even possibly get on. It's like I have had it. There is no more capacity for me to participate in getting on another roller coaster, another ride, another anything. And then very strangely enough, the next day it happened in reverse. When we were at Epcot and I was having a great time and I was wanting to go the next place and the next place, and Gary said, "I'm ready to go home." What? What? It's only like 5 o'clock. I know. I can't take anymore. So it's interesting. We didn't have our sensitivities going on the same day, but there are times when the world around you, the noise of the world around you, the activity, the chaos, the thoughts, the actions, the everything, all the vibrations somehow get inside you in a way that's very uncomfortable. And if, you know, when we can realize that, you know, we can do something about it. But it's also interesting that you say, since everything is made of energy, we can use our imaginations to heal and shape our bodies. And that this is like the other side of the coin, the flip side. I mean, we're talking about how things affect us in the negative, but there are things that we can do in the positive that are going to manifest in our lives, and that has to do with our imagination. Why don't we pick that up on the other side? They'll give you a minute to think about it.
We have alternate universes of conversation awaiting us. When you get Pam on, you don't know where it's going to go, though I do have one little anecdote I'd like to pull out of her because I heard it on YouTube and I thought, oh, I want to find out how that happened. So more with Pam Owsley, more of Manson Mitchell on the other side of a short break. Hang in there. You're listening to Seattle's home of alternative talk, AM 1150.
That's the way it is, the way it is, the way it is now.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.
Hi, this is Susan Harmon, inviting you to join me every Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time, for the Susan Harmon Hour. I'm always curious and I enjoy discussing a wide array of interesting and provocative subjects with fascinating and erudite guests. If you're looking for grounded authenticity with a twist, you'll want to join us for a fast-moving and informative hour right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer-related death. It is responsible for more deaths than breast, prostate, and colon cancers combined. This year, nearly 160,000 American men and women will die from lung cancer. Smoking is a major contributor, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Learn about lung cancer risks, symptoms, screening, and treatment options. Find easy-to-understand information at radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Sign up for early notice about future shows on a spam-free listserv. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/manceandmitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Hello, my name is Marie Manucherry. I'm an energy intuitive, author, and host of Where Energy and Medicine Meet. During the show, I answer callers' questions, intuitively, of course, and provide invaluable guidance. I also interview others who I believe are on the leading edge of thought. Tune in on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on 1150 a.m. in Seattle, or live wherever you are at energyintuitive.com.
This station is Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our hour well spent with Pam Owsley underway, and we're so delighted to have her on the phone from Santa Barbara, California, where all the beautiful people live. That's a wonderful, wonderful part of California and of America. That is for sure. Rich in history and just rich, period. So, Pam, delighted to have you with us. And
that's an understatement, by the way. The joke is the billionaires are squeezing the millionaires out of here.
I'm not at all surprised. That's just the socioeconomics of our time. That's for sure. Pam, I wanted to get a story out of you and go into as much detail as you like. I heard about this on YouTube today, because that's where I do a lot of my show prep, and I thought, wow, I have to ask Pam for the extended version of this. How was it that you were able to retrieve your kitty cat who had gone missing, and you apparently went into an alternate universe or another dimension because you refused to accept the idea that your cat was gone forever?
Man, that to me, that was one of the most powerful examples of being able to go into parallel universes. So basically, just so people know, because some of them might not have heard our talk about parallel universes before, so I just want to lay the groundwork to show you how I did this. So physicists, quantum physicists, have evidence that parallel universes exist, and they're as close to you as your breath. So every time you make a choice, I don't care if it's as simple as you decided to wear a white shirt today instead of a blue one. Every time you make a choice, there is an alternate you, literally an alternate you that splits off and has a completely different life making that other choice. And I use parallel universes a lot to change my life, to change things that are going on in my life, to create, to go into a universe where it's what I want it to be. So I've been able to change the weather that way, all kinds of stuff. So it's really true. It's really powerful. And one of the things that I did one day, and my cat was, I love my cat. My cat, my beloved cat, was very consistent about showing up. He, you know, he was a silver tier Persian. That was like, this happened years and years ago. So he was always at the house, always, you know, eating at a certain time, would always show up in the morning, whatever. And he didn't show up for 3 days. And we have a lot of coyotes in this area. I live in Santa Barbara. I'm up in the foothills. Lots of coyotes. We have lost so many animals in this area because of coyotes. And I knew that he had encountered a coyote, and I went, nope, nope, nope. I'm going to use parallel universes. I am going to shift that. It's not acceptable to me. I'm not ready to let go of my cat yet. I am going to move into another universe, a parallel universe, multiverse, where my cat is still alive. And by the way, I had a long conversation with David Deutsch, who is a world-famous quantum physicist, who his expertise is on parallel universes. And in one of his interviews, he actually stated that even if you die in one universe, you will still be alive. You can still be alive in others. So that's how dramatic this is. And these are physicists saying this. So I went, okay, I totally believe that. I'm going to go into a world where my cat is still alive, a parallel universe, a realm, a frequency where my cat is still alive. And I focused on it really strong. I visualized my cat coming back up my street. And, you know, within, I don't even remember if it was an hour. I don't remember now because I lost track of time. here, I went outside over by my car, and I watched my cat coming up the street, and he was kind of bloody. He had obviously been cut. He had been something, but he had been missing for 3 days. And here came my cat, and I went, okay. I went into a parallel universe where he was still alive, and he was still around for quite a while after that. So it's really powerful stuff, and it sounds like science fiction, but we know a lot of things that were classified as science fiction even 10 years ago is now science fact. I mean, we have cell phones and satellites and fax machines and internet and, you know, everything right now that used to, and flying to the moon and going to Mars, that used to be considered science fiction, and it's not anymore. So parallel universes fits in with that. And in my book, I teach people how to use those to change their lives.
Now, when you say your book, are you referring to Infinite You?
Infinite You. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the one that I teach people how to do mind over matter, the power of our consciousness, telepathy, how to use parallel universes, psychic abilities, mediumship, talking to those who are on the other side, whether that's deceased loved ones or spirit guides. I show people how it's possible, the quantum physics behind it, examples of how I've used it and what's happened because I've used it, and then I teach them how to do it. I do meditation examples in there. I show them how to do it. Because I believe we all have these abilities and that this is where the consciousness is going. Aren't you seeing a lot more of this showing up on the planet, including and especially with some of the kids that are showing up on the planet that remember their other lives, they're psychic, they're telepathic? There's all kinds of things showing up in the consciousness right now that the average person is not aware of because they haven't been researching it the way I have been.
Yes, I have noticed it, but it seems that there is a cultural influence, Pam, because to take India for an example, reincarnation is accepted by the vast majority of India, which has over 1 billion people in its borders, within its borders. And to them, reincarnation is kind of a hassle. It isn't, oh, you know, I'll get to be the next great chef, or I'm going to be a billionaire and own a string of hotels, or I'm going to be a Bollywood movie star. To them, it's about, I have to do this again? Look at my backyard. I'm glad when a cobra shows up because I'm fighting the rats for my corn. And that's the kind of thing that they deal with on a daily basis, millions upon millions of people. So to them, reincarnation isn't the wonderland that the way we look at it here in the Western world, but it's still very real to them. And as they look at the lives of children, they find again and again astonishing accounts of children 5, 6, 7 years of age who can recall a lifetime in a town very remote from where they are, with a very accurate description of people who, when contacted, fit the description of the parents of this given child. And over there, scientists are wondering, how can this be?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? In most spiritual traditions, they do believe that the spirit exists. It survives death, that we don't just disappear. So even Christians believe that the soul goes on, the spirit goes on. So we know that there's life after death. Now, what I find fascinating is when I study quantum physics and when I actually interview and talk to people who have had near-death experiences, there's no such thing as time on the other side. So bottom line, what they're saying is, and again, parallel universes, all these other lives exist simultaneously. So these children are, we put it in linear terms because that's how we understand it, past, present, future, this minute, then the next minute, the next minute. That's how we function here. But these children are tapping into another life, another frequency that is currently still going on. And that's what I do when I do psychic readings. I can see someone's past, present, and future right now in the current, right here in the present time. And if I can see somebody's future and somebody's past, that means it's happening right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see it, especially the future one. If I can see someone's future, and remember, we have free will and there are parallel universes and it's way more expansive, then if I can see someone's future, that means it's happening right now. And it applies to what we've termed past lives. They're happening right now, simultaneously. And that's what was so fun to interview people, many people on my show that have had near-death experiences. And they all said the same thing. They saw their other lives and they were happening right now. They were well aware of what they were living in other frequencies, other universes, other realms, whatever word you want to put to it. So I just find it interesting that so many people are being able to access those other realms right now in their current awake state. And by the way, I want to use the analogy so we don't blow some people away of radio frequencies, radio waves, right? Right now, in the room you're in right now, there's at least 10 radio stations broadcasting their information and their music. And those airwaves, those radio waves are around you in the air right now, all around you, but you're not aware of them because you're not tuned into them. But if you go to your tuner, your radio, and you turn it on, let's say 99.9, you're going to hear the music and the talk that's going on with that station, and that becomes part of your reality. Now, if you switch it over to 107, now you're going to hear that radio station and that music and that information, and that becomes part of your reality. Now, 99.9 is still around you. That is still exists. It's going on, but you're not tuned into it, so you're not aware it's happening. That's how parallel universes work, and that's why a lot of people, including all these amazing children, are being able to adjust their frequency and to be able to tune into those other realms, those other frequencies, or those other radio stations, if you want to call them, while it's like simultaneously. They can be on 107 and also listen to 99.9. That's what's happening, and that's what's so profound, and this is physics now. This is not science fiction. Physics has got evidence that this is real.
Pam, one of the things that we've heard from past life regression experts and reincarnation experts is that when you reincarnate, that it is not your entire soul, which is right, moving from one physical body to another, which really kind of confirms what it is that you're saying as far as having these multiple lives, is that in the oversoul of all of it, you are still connected to your main soul, but a part of you comes down to incarnate. And so if a part of your larger consciousness, your larger soul, is having several lives simultaneously, 10 or 100 or 1,000 lives simultaneously, can the individual lives help each other if they're from the same seed oversoul?
Yes, I love that you're bringing this up. That's why I called my book Infinite You, because we think we're just this little, you know, Casper the Ghost little being inside one body. Like, no, our oversoul exists in a very expansive state of consciousness. I don't care if people want to call it heaven or the universe or whatever. It's in a state of expanded awareness, expanded consciousness. Our souls are huge. And what it does is it breaks out. It has experiences. I don't even want to call it breaks it out, but it's almost like an octopus with lots of different arms to it, or legs, whatever they're called. I think they're arms. The soul has different experiences in order to experience, to learn, to grow, to evolve, to have different experiences, sometimes just for the experience. And so, yes, if you're getting something in this lifetime, if you're getting an aha, you're clearing out something, you're having fun, you're getting knowledge, you are automatically affecting all those other selves. So simultaneously, you can benefit from the knowledge and awareness of all those other selves, not just in other lives, like you're living in the 16th century, you're living in the 1200s, you can access those aspects of yourself and get knowledge and gain knowledge. You can also, which we do all the time, by the way, gain information, knowledge, and helpful advice, guidance from other selves of you in this lifetime. Since there's an infinite number of you, I mean, Suzanne, there's a you that married somebody you met in, you know, elementary school. There's a you that never got married at all. There's a you that became a musician, or a performer, or a teacher, or a writer. There's other yous out there, and you can tap into that. You know, it sounds weird, but I do it all the time. You can tap into that and gain the knowledge or the talents or the skills or the awareness or the experience of those other selves. And by the way, we've all had experiences of deja vu. that's an aspect of tapping into another self that you just intersected with. We feel it as deja vu, or we have dreams. In your dream state, you connect with a greater part of you or other aspects of you, and you get guidance that way. You can get answers from other selves.
One of the ways that shows up for me, it has become a joke in our household, and that is that it took me a long, long time. It wasn't until in the last 6 or 8 years or so that I finally laid claim and put a name to it. But I realized that I have an engineer's mind. I'm not an engineer. I never took an engineering course. I have no formal education in engineering. But I noticed that in this lifetime, I have a way to figure things out. I have a way to fix things when I don't even know how they work. Mm-hmm. And so it's become kind of a joke about, well, I'll think about this with my engineer's mind and I'll come up with a solution. And I've come up with solutions to quite a few things that I have no idea how they work mechanically, but I can figure out how to fix them. And so, you know, now I just call it my engineer's mind. There is likely another lifetime where I'm a very good engineer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, you know, how do you know that's not just something coming from her own brain, like she hasn't been using her own brain? I mean, that's a whole conversation in itself on where does consciousness come from. People think it's generated in the brain, but what physicists are finding out, that's like saying your television generates all the shows you watch. It's not. It's the computer or the computer screen that you watch. Your computer doesn't generate all those websites. It picks it up. It gets that from an expanded layer, a level of something outside of it, just like a TV. The TV does not generate consciousness. It receives it. There's something greater than you, just like it pulls in radio signals. So I absolutely believe that you're tuning into one aspect of you, one experience that you're having in a parallel universe that's an engineer. I do that all the time. I absolutely know, with no doubt in my mind, that I was an oracle or am an oracle in Delphi, which is one of the reasons I believe that I can that psychic information is so, psychic abilities are so easy for me, because I tap into that trained ability from that experience, from that realm, from that lifetime. So when people go, well, no, it's all just the brain, it's like, all right, but what I'm trying to show is that we're more expansive, we're more amazing, and life is not this rigid little biological machine that we've been raised to believe it is. There's consciousness, there's soul, there's awareness that's so much more expansive. And I'm telling you, Gary and Suzanne, when you tune into that, life becomes so much more fun, so much more freedom, so much more joy, so much more compassion and love. Because, you know what, I'm going to use your Disneyland example. Going to Disneyland, one of the reasons we like it is, like, you can go over to the different lands, go on different rides, go to Adventureland, go to Fantasyland, go to Tomorrowland, wherever you want. You've got a choice, right? Can you imagine if you went to a theme park and it was only one ride? Oh, sorry, it's just the merry-go-round. You have to get on the merry-go-round and that's it. We would be so bored out of our minds.
Yeah, that's good.
But there is something to be said about that. I'm going to hold on to that. Let's go ahead and take our last break of this hour, and then we'll pick up the threads of that conversation, because I think there's someplace more to go with this. Pam Owsley, always sparking thought. She is a very creative being, and she gets us thinking along the same wavelength. And isn't that so much to do with metaphysics, wavelength and frequency?
Stay with us through this brief break. You're listening to Manson Mitchell on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We'll be right back.
I have known you all my life. Girl, it seems to me that you will always be.
Preceding audio was via a Skype call.
Are you looking for an affordable and effective way to market your holistic business? By advertising in Seattle Natural Awakenings magazine, in print and online, you will reach a readership of 50,000 ideal customers. And like no other magazine, we also have creative tools to deliver your message to the world. Join the Seattle Natural Awakenings family and let us support you in bringing your business to the next level. To get into our next issue, call 425-350-5448 or visit us online at seattleawakenings.com. We are ready to go to work with you and for you.
At the invitation of Carter Subaru, Operation KidSafe International will be offering free lifetime digital safety forms for kids. The program is free and private. It'll be available at the Ski Dazzle event in the Carter Subaru booth. It's at CenturyLink Field Event Center November 6th through the 8th. The system will then be available November 9th through the 12th at Carter Subaru's Shoreline location in Shoreline. More info at CarterSubaruShoreline.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed back Pam Owsley, intuitive extraordinaire who sees auras and explains what the colors mean.
On Saturday, psychic bystander Louisa Oakley Green returns with her latest book of great stories about people's experiences with the highly strange.
Then stay tuned to Eileen Grimes, host of Jupiter Rising in the second hour.
Bringing you fascinating talk since 2007, we are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. There's only one Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my life.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our special guest today, Pamela Owsley, author of several books. One is Aura Colors. One is Love Colors. Life Colors, Love Colors, Make Your Dreams Come
That's
True.
That's why the Kodachrome. And it makes sense now.
I know. She reads colors. And if you would like to have your colors read, you may want to contact Pamela Owsley. Pam, what is the best way for people to contact you? Where can they get your books? What do you have going on? Spill the beans, girlfriend.
Everything is on my website. It's auracolors.com, A-U-R-A, colors, C-O-L-O-R-S.com. And my radio show's on there. People can take the free quiz to find out their aura colors. And then they can go read about it, watch the videos, listen to stuff. I have my radio show on there. I've got e-courses on there. Everything from parallel universes and expanded consciousness courses to learning about your aura colors, discovering how to do psychic abilities. I have everything on that website, including my phone number and email address, and people can contact me.
I wanted to bring something up really quickly about that, and thank you, because I think people will want to connect with you. Everybody should. And that is when we were at Epcot and we were in the big golf ball of Epcot. It's all a big timeline about history and communications. And I had mentioned that it seems like the entire world changed with the printing press. And everything that had happened up to that time was oral. And then all of a sudden, it's all getting put on papyrus, put on paper. And that was such a phenomenal event in human history. And then as we went through the rest of the ride, it seemed like computers were the next thing. There was a 500-year difference between the printing press and the computer. And I think that most people will acknowledge, that the computer is definitely, life-changing our history. When you're talking about this expanded consciousness and this ability to shift your consciousness in such a way that you can experience these multiple universes, do you think that is part of this wave of change that has come along with the computer?
Absolutely. It's funny. I read something a long time ago where they said when books first came out, they were actually afraid that people would stop talking with the advent of books. Is that amazing? And so I see a similar fear with people with all the technology. Well, people aren't connecting anymore. They're not making it personal. And I can see that side of it. At the same time, it's connected us more. It's expanded our level of connection. It's expanded our level of awareness. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't know what was happening on all these other continents, Africa and the Middle East and Sudan, I didn't know any of that stuff because we, you know, you had to go to the library and read stuff, and who knew if that was even up to date. So technology, and I write this in my book, Infinite You, that technology is actually expanding us in a way to show us what we're capable of doing. Do you know that Mark Zuckerberg, who, you know, the founder of Facebook,
yes,
actually said that the next level of Facebook is telepathy, that technology is getting us telepathic. And I'm seeing that. It's getting us more connected. It's expanding our awareness, our consciousness. So at some point, and I'm just hoping and praying for this, we won't need technology, because what our consciousness is capable of doing is way beyond what we are creating with our own technology. We're going to go beyond that. And we're already seeing it. They've developed this different technologies where people can have a thought and it tells the computer what to do. Or they think, they use their power of their mind to control their wheelchair. Or, you know, different games. It's like we're already starting to use the power of our consciousness to create things in technology, and it's not a far leap then to see we don't need the technology.
You know, Pam, when I hear you talk and I read a book like Infinite You, I'm reminded of something that I had just about completely forgotten because it's uncomfortable to experience it. There is a great virtue to being dissatisfied. Imagine that, dissatisfaction as a spur to personal evolution. If we were just satisfied with the commonplace reality and we didn't aspire to much, if we weren't experiencing what Emerson called that divine discontent, we would all still be a hunter-gatherer society. Where would be the
That's
spur
right.
to grow? Somebody has to be dissatisfied about something to move us forward.
Right, dissatisfaction and curiosity. That's why, you know, I understand there are certain belief systems out there that say, okay, desire causes pain. Let go of all desire. Don't have pain, you know, desire because it creates pain. And what, you know what? Desire helps us create new things. It helps us move forward. What causes pain is having a belief that your desires, you're not capable of having your desires, of manifesting your desires. That which you desire, you're never going to have. That's what causes pain. Thinking you can't create the, you know, your desires coming true. So I think desires, dissatisfaction, curiosity, all of that helps us create new things and new experiences. So I see the value in it.
That also reminds me of what we were talking about in the first segment, where everything is made up of energy. And if you can use our imaginations in a way that manifests what we want, that's a lot different. I mean, we can use that to heal, to shape our bodies, to heal us up from, you know, any dis-ease that we're having. But it always comes back to, do you believe it or not?
Right. That's right. It's powerful with our beliefs. Just what you said before, you don't always get what you want, but you'll always get what you believe. And if people really saw what they're discovering in quantum physics, just the double slit experiment, and people can go read more about that or go on YouTube and watch like Dr. Quantum's little video about it. It explains a lot. But what they've shown in the double slit experiment is that the observer, everything was just waves of information, waves of like light was in a form of a wave. And as soon as an observer focuses on it or measures it, it pops into one particle instead of a wave. And so they're saying that not only is consciousness or the observer affecting reality, what they're learning now is that the observer is actually, or the consciousness is actually creating reality. So when we actually really get to the profound implications of what quantum physics is telling us, we're going to see that we actually do create our own reality. And then when you discover that there's parallel universes, you can't even say, well, I create my own reality except for when it comes to other people, because I don't have any control over the other people. It's not about controlling other people. It's about shifting your own self into another universe where everything in that universe is happening the way you want it to, or the way you desire, the way you imagine it to be. So it's not about controlling, manipulating, and we're not limited based on other people being in the same world as us. We don't have any limitations. that's what's so profound here.
This wow. brings up something additional for me, which is I have decided to give people a break. Now, I'm a Virgo. We love to criticize. We'll tell you all the things you're doing wrong, only with the most helpful of intentions, naturally. I finally came to the place in my life, and it only took about six decades, for me to realize that not everyone is going to be on the same wavelength as myself. It's okay if we are different. It's okay if we don't get together in one sense or another because maybe we weren't supposed to. If we have endless experiences and endless perspectives available to us, it's only understandable and natural that people would be operating on different frequencies. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome, Gary. Watch this one. I'm going to go a step further with you. And I love that insight, by the way. It's like, it's not trying to criticize or make everything wrong. But if infinite number of universes exist, that the one that you're in is reflecting to you the beliefs that you have. So, and you and I have a lot in common because I can get like that. I can get disappointed in people going, why can't they? And I go, wait a second, what am I doing in a universe where I believe people let me down or people betray me or people hurt me? What am I doing in that universe that's a reflection of my beliefs? What if I go into a universe that reflects my beliefs that peace and harmony and love and everybody's happy and there's no poverty and there's no scarcity? And I go, wow, that universe actually exists. How come I'm not in that one to see that reflection of my beliefs? So, and the same people will be in there. They'll just be different. You understand?
Yeah.
Wow.
So but it's the value of the experience. It's the value of the experience that you want.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And we want dichotomy. We want a diversity so that we can have different experiences. If everything was la-di-da-di, wonderful, wonderful, we don't have the experience of opposites or, you know, of pain, of hurt, of sadness, of grief, of happiness, of joy, of anger. You know, we don't want a milquetoast type of universe. We want to experience different feelings. That's one of the reasons we're in physical form. So it's like, okay, today I'm a little angry. Okay, today I'm sad. Okay, right now I'm really happy. Like, oh, yay, I'm starting to accept my own emotional experiences and not blame it on other people causing it.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. When we drove home yesterday, we stopped to have some lunch because we didn't have any food in the house. And I suddenly realized I did not have my one and only pair of glasses that are not sunglasses, my indoor glasses. And I went into the total funk, terrible state. Oh, my God, I have to drive to Orlando, search the car, didn't find the glasses in the car or the glasses case, sat and had lunch and was like in the worst space imaginable, got back in the car, and I just decided to start praying. And I closed my eyes, and I said, nothing is ever lost in the universe. The glasses aren't in Orlando. I just haven't seen them, but they're here because what is mine comes to me. And I'm doing this prayer work in the few minutes that we have to drive home, and I get this little thought, I don't know where it came from, but it was to check under the driver's side seat when we had made a sudden stop in order not to run over a pedestrian. The glasses went flying out from the purse to underneath the driver's side seat. And there they were.
Go ahead.
Well, that was it. I mean, a complete turnaround. And I wasn't even sure, you know, how it all happened, where the thought came from, why I decided to pray, glasses weren't in Orlando, but they were with me.
You decided not to panic. Yeah. That was the main thing I saw in you. You decided not to panic.
I decided not to panic. Yeah.
You shifted your beliefs, your energy, and guess what? That you're changing your beliefs, your perspective, your emotions, your energy, that's what brings you into parallel universes. And so look, you went into a universe where the glasses were right there. You know, probably in the universe you were in before, the glasses were not there. You shifted. And I know that sounds weird, but I'll tell you, when you finally get that that's how things happen, because everything's created from the nothingness into form, comes from the unseen into the seen. So there's so much we can talk about how this works and how you can do it and how this is actually physics. But you shifted your frequency, which is like changing the radio station.
Yes.
That's how you change stations. You change
yeah.
the frequency, and you tune into a different frequency, and therefore there's a different reality.
From unhappiness and pure panic about the only pair of glasses not being with me to absolutely they would be found and being very calm about it. Pam, we love having you on. Please tell us that you will come back again and we will talk about all these good things and more.
Oh, okay. But I think next time maybe you guys have to pay me millions of dollars. No, I'll just manifest it. I'll be on for fun.
Well, you know what? If we have millions to pay you, I'm good with that. That would be fine. In addition to which, we got into the conversation so deeply, we decided not to do calls. So next time we'll take some calls, okay?
Okay.
All
deal.
Right. Thank you for being with us.
And once
Pamela
again,
Osley, O-S-L-I-E, author of Infinite You.
Go to Amazon and buy it. Great book.
Yes. And have a great weekend. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Seattle's Home of Alternative Talk, AM 1150. In the meantime, stay tuned for Christine Upchurch, followed by Susan Harmon.